Number 12. John. The awful pain of human existence. People don't reveal themselves. If you are surrounded by others who mislead you, as most of us are, people project things onto you without you realizing it. You find yourself in pain and don't know why. Who knows? Maybe after this life, we get taken someplace where we can see people's true intentions and motivations, and that's why and how people get ranked there. On the ground, things are cloudy. It is cloudy in Philly today, and I'm sitting next to two old geezers talking local politics. These feelings have come up because I can tell they don't like each other much. I also detect real devotion between them, and when the conversation lapses, they stare at their coffee cups. City politics in Philly has always amused me because the mayor and his minions always work from the same platform. Philly's a great place. Let's make it even better. Ride this thought out, and you realize the mayor of Cincinnati and Detroit and Houston and, moving farther down the line, Hoboken, has to say the same thing. Other than these geezers, the grind is more or less deserted. One guy is leaning against the wooden counter adjacent to the tables, working on his laptop. Being alone at a cafe like this is a good metaphor for trying to be a serious writer in America in 2010. The crazes and manias around national politics have put them, for me at least, off limits. And it isn't just that the politicians don't show themselves. It's that the gaudiness and the inanity of what they show looks like a parody of American party politics, already devolved into self-parody in the 70s, 80s, 90s, and aughts. Watching any one of these guys, or gals, is like watching a scorpion sting itself to death. Perversely fascinating to see once, sickening over a prolonged period. All the little Jewish guys I used to hang out with like to follow the DC details. They want to talk about the moves made, bills passed, etc. But once it really sinks in that you can't make a difference, and there is no hope of doing so, why follow the deets? One dude in particular loved the minutia. For him, I'm sure it still has more draw than hand lotion, if you know what I mean. I see it like this. With broken compacts on all sides, who wants to talk about responsibility? In 2010, maybe it's 60-40 in my favor to remain politically uninformed. Liberal activists stick their fingers in sockets and wonder why they end up doing their shits, dying in some sinecure's office. I never say these things out loud, because what's the point? Funny thing about Trish Weber. How mum she was about politics and political commitment. Toby Simon was similar. Hardline aesthetes, they define themselves as artists who contributed to human society by being creative. Can the brain which holds and manifests the sublime hold and manifest the political? Then there's the politics of the sublime in a showbiz country at a showbiz juncture when all showbiz tycoons have to do is mutter more people, and intellectuals and artists with little popular draw are expected to retreat. With everything Trish Weber said and did, it was obvious that she had employed the broadsword of her brain and chosen to say and do it. A big swords girl, Trish. But a political commitment junkie like Heather Mullen could only find Trish both trying and infuriating. When we were doing the free school shows, John Rhind and I fell into a dozen sort ofs on this level. We sort of defined a sort of ethos, sort of relatable, sort of practicable. Heather tried to be patient with us, but was obviously looking for something more committed, more full throttle. We said we were a school, didn't we? Toby Simon was sort of queer, and this filled in some space as a sort of ethos for her, as queerness did for John Rhind, too. For full-on, full-throttle political commitment, those around us looked to Heather Mullen, not us, who was happy, by the way, to traipse past us when she saw what the score was. The verdict is what it is for me. The sublime and political commitment make extremely uneasy bedfellows. More people be damned. The guy I know, an adjunct at U of Arts, just sat down next to me. He stole a girl from me once. This is 5 years ago, who's now, oddly enough, a full-time activist in D.C. When I knew her in Philly, she was an aspiring novelist working confessional territory. Heather! Heather. I remember reading with her at the Khyber and the nights that preceded it. She called me in a brief, albeit intense, domestic interlude, Pumpkin. In any case, I have to get out of here. Between the heat, the humidity, and the adjuncts, the grind is starting to oppress the living hell out of me. Alone, Heather may return. With it, the realization that I've never understood the Tao of who stays in my life, who doesn't, and why it has to be a woman calls you Pumpkin after a few astonishing rolls in the hay and then disappears forever. Politically, Adam.